Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're getting into the world of software, but more specifically, in the hospitality sector. And we're going to be chatting with one of the country's homebred software and IT firms. And we're just going to understand, some of what they're seeing in the market. We know that a couple of days ago, there was an announcement, that Omegro, which is a portfolio company of Valaris Group that includes South Africa's Adapt IT, announced the acquisition of SparGuru, which is a hospitality software company, for an undisclosed sum. And we're going to be chatting with Reginald Sebeko, who is the managing director of Micro South Africa, just to understand some of the rationale around that particular transaction. Reggie, greetings to you today.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa, and all the listeners of the podcast. Thank you for having me.
So maybe you could just give us a little bit, of insight. You've heard me talking about, I guess the headline and, what's happened. But maybe you could, before we get into the actual transaction, we've named a number of different groups here. We've named Omegro, we've named Adapt IT, we've named Valaris, we've named, yourself, you're the MD of Micros. Help us to understand the relationship between these entities.
Thanks for that, Mudiwa. And it's quite important because people can get lost in this maze, isn't it? Micro South Africa, just to give you a bit of historical background, Micro South Africa is a hospitality software company that provides hospitality management software and also point-of-sale software for restaurants. Micro South Africa has been around since 1997. In 2017, Adapt IT acquired fully Micro South Africa to become an Adapt IT company. As a consequence of that, Micro South Africa became an Adapt IT company. Then Adapt IT in 2022, on the 2nd or the 4th of January, I can't remember the exact date, was acquired by Valaris, which is a portfolio company of Constellation Software, which is a company that is in Canada, that is traded in the Toronto Stock Exchange. So that's how this maze looks like. Omegro is a portfolio within Valaris. That is the portfolio that basically Adapt IT in South Africa reports to when it comes to Constellation. So that's basically the engine that basically we report to, the leadership that we report to in terms of what happens in the market and how we drive growth and how we acquire businesses in this market, which is the Middle East and Africa.
Am I correct? I believe that I have seen your specific logo, Micros, as well as Adapt IT at a couple of restaurants. When I've been out and about, you sometimes see the terminals on the side there, and sometimes you'll catch a glimpse of the logos in the corner. That's your speciality.
Yes, that's our speciality. We currently one of the leading companies to provide such solutions that provide restaurants with an ability to drive their businesses forward, to sustain their businesses. We have a number of portfolio clients. I don't want to obviously divulge all of them, but there's key customers in South Africa, key restaurant chains largely use our software in South Africa.
All right. No, that's good. So when it comes to this particular acquisition, the one with SparGuru, how do you see that fitting into, I guess, the overall portfolio? As much as we're talking about Omegro, my understanding is that this will be something that now falls under your portfolio.
Yeah, that's correct, Mudiwa. Omegro, as a portfolio within CSI, always has an objective to expand its footprint, especially in the hospitality sector. We specialize in vertical software markets, and we look for businesses that have growth potential, but also very, very key to their industry, meaning they're mission critical, they add value to customers, and we want to buy and hold those businesses and have them grow in the particular field. So from an Omegro perspective, it was always a focus to continue. And we actually have a goal to continue to grow the hospitality portfolio within the group. And how that translates to Micro South Africa. Micro South Africa, whilst on this journey as well, as part of the Omegro companies or businesses, we have an objective to continue to create value for our customers. And one of the things we've identified in South Africa is that we didn't want to only stop at touching our customers at property management level and also at point of sale level. There is an ecosystem of softwares that connect to the hospitality sector. And at times we find that our customers end up having to talk to various parties to try and find a solution for what they're trying to solve for. And whilst in engagements with a number of customers, some of these come up, especially around the spa solution, how it's such a fragmented market and people are trying to figure out who do they talk to, what is the best product that's out there. And Spa Guru really came to us as a product that we have been looking at for quite some time as Omegro. And we feel that it is a best fit for the Omegro portfolio because it answers exactly those questions that our customers had, but also it gives us that long-term view of how do we create value going forward for the market, and Sparkle is the perfect product that's going to take us there.
In terms of market presence, specifically for Spa Guru, obviously they've got, from my understanding, good penetration in a country like South Africa. Is that the only territory that they operate in?
No, not necessarily, Mudiwa. And this is one of the things that is really key about Spa Guru. Spa Guru has presence in 6, 7, 8 more other countries. They've got presence in Kuwait. The Middle East is going to be a key focus for us with regards to Spa Guru as well. They've got customers in territories that we don't currently operate in, and that's going to open up our market as well. So we want to continue to grow those. Yes, South Africa is the base customer, the client list that they have. A large part of it sits in South Africa. But they have presence all over the world, and that's very key because the business model for Spark Guru is largely online, and you can touch customers anywhere in the world because they can get a hold of your product using a web browser.
All right, when it comes to I guess the needs of a spa, of a salon, you know, people that are operating, you know, in that sector. The reason I asked about the geographical spread is maybe to understand, is there a uniform go-to-market approach, you know, that they have taken and that I guess Micros will also continue to take, or is it almost a country-specific and then business-specific type of engagement that they have when a person actually has, you know, this platform and how they engage with it?
So spas all over the world, by and large, and this is what's great about the product, largely operate the same. It's about scheduling and managing appointments, isn't it? And managing the therapists that you have within the business. And that's uniform across the world. Everybody uses the same functionality. What you're starting to see in the industry, obviously, is the use of AI and how the AI engines are then able to drive certain data fields, data that's going to assist the operators of these businesses to make key decisions and to operate their businesses slightly much more efficient. And that's what that's what's unique between the different products. So, the base of it is the same across, but it's these key nuances that are different in the different products. So Operationally, across the world, Spark Guru operates the same. Everybody acquires Spark Guru. You have different types of packages you can take. So if you do have no requirement for certain aspects of the product, you take a certain package. But by and large, everybody uses the scheduling, the management of the therapist, and the management of the appointments. And then you have the additional features, which is where it's going to be key for us as Micro South Africa. How do we start creating value with the resources and the technical expertise that we have? How do you start creating value for Spark Guru clients by adding to what functionality they have going forward? Spark Guru, as is today, is a very formidable product. But as you know, technology evolves, and a portfolio like Omegro, which has over 100 technology companies that are software developers, gives you access to expertise that allows you to look at your business differently and bring in a lot more value and create more value for your customers.
I'm very keen to get your sense, Reggie, with everything that you're talking about, especially how businesses run their operations and how they then apply different softwares to tackle certain things, right? An accounting software is not the same as a customer relationship management platform. It's not the same as, you know, a billing platform, right? But a number of software vendors and people that are making these products are, some of them at least, seem to be moving towards, we want to do anything and everything for you and your operation, right? Whereas others, you know, continue to see value in specialization in a particular area. I'm keen to get your sense around that spectrum of capability when it comes to software and how, because I can think about, in this particular case, you guys specialize, as Micros, you specialize in software that's used across the hospitality sector, right? And a number of hotels, for example, will have a normal hotel. They'll have restaurant operations. Some will also have spa operations. And it's tempting, I'm guessing, to say, let us just give you one platform that runs the whole thing, versus, okay, you know, here's something that can help you to effectively manage the restaurant piece. This is one that will help you effectively run the spa piece, et cetera, et cetera. So just keen to get your sense around some of the trends that you may be seeing, how businesses are actually making use of software.
I think that's a very good point that you make there, Mudia. And I think for the purposes of this engagement and for those who are listening, they should not think that we're not specializing anymore. And this is the key point of it. If you look at the market that we operate in, everything we are trying to achieve is really around guest experience. How do we enhance the guest experience? The point of sale and the PMS, which is the property management software, and the spa are actually talking to each other at any given time within the hotel. So the point that we're trying to solve for, and what we're trying to solve for our customers, is that when you have too many players who are responsible for the guest experience, it gets distorted, because this experience compared to this experience is no longer the same, and it's not talking to each other. There's a number of issues that you start experiencing, especially the integration of all of these platforms into one. Because they are all around. So when I sit with a customer and says, my customer says to me, Reg, we are about guest experience. And our guest experience starts at, from the time the guest is trying to book the accommodation, from the until the guest leaves the property. That's the guest experience. It's in between that particular period that they've spent with us. And everything that happens in between, they will interact with some of your systems and some of the other vendors. I need to get to a point where the experience of the guest is seamless across all these platforms. So to answer your question, Mudio, we continue to specialize. And Spark Guru, to be quite frank, Spark Guru will continue to operate as is. It will not be a micro South Africa. It will continue to be Spark Guru and operate as an entity on its own, and their team that will operate and actually go to market, do everything they need to do. But what they have now is access to additional technical resources which come from Micros, Adapt IT, and Omegro as a portfolio. That's what it gives as a strength to this business. But the business will continue to operate on its own, because we want to nurture the fact that exactly what you're saying, specialization is key. And people who are specializing need to specialize. But what we're trying to respond to from a market perspective is, how do we ensure that the guest experience is seamless across all the touch points that they have within a hospitality experience? And in doing so, when you have some of these businesses in one portfolio, you are able to have a strategic engagement across all the leaders who are looking after all of this specialized software to say, how do we enhance the experience of a guest? Let's work together to try and respond to that request in the market.
Now, it makes perfect sense, you know, the way that you're describing it. You know, if I may draw a parallel with a completely different industry, I've been struck over the last couple of years with the rise of electric vehicles, right? And one of the most interesting things about electric vehicles is how much electric vehicles manufacturers have brought in-house, right? Both on a hardware level but especially on a software level, right? Because in a normal traditional car, your car is basically a number of different hardware and software systems all talking to each other. There's a system that's running the air conditioning, the one that's running the tire pressure sensing and monitoring, one for the speed, all of these. And you have different manufacturers and OEMs all bringing their systems together, and you have that. And in certain cases, that works very well. But in many cases, it's led to incompatibility, all of these issues. But now the EV makers have brought a lot of their they're developing most of their own systems in-house. And some people have found, from at least a customer experience point of view, that has created something a bit more seamless. Yeah, so I think that's one of the big reasons why I was, you know, keen to get your sense around what you're seeing in the hospitality space. And I guess, you know, if I'm understanding your strategy, it's these different pieces of software and continue to operate as is, but that Micros, Adapt IT, and Omegro, you know, integration in the background sort of helps, you know, that ability for systems to talk seamlessly to each other. But I'm also guessing, as you go to talk to customers as well, the stack of things that you can offer becomes a bit more.
Precisely, and you're trying to respond to the inconsistency experience within the market. And to your example, we find that in certain areas, we will not go into. We might not have that software. You know, we want to create a business that has an ecosystem of hospitality softwares. If you think about hospitality, it's fast, isn't it? There's booking engines. There's all of these things that talk to hospitality. And this request, actually, now and then I get it from our customers who are saying, "Reg, you know, I've been dealing with vendor A, B, C, D. And their software is great, but, you know, we've had challenges them integrating into your software because of A, B, C, D and all of those things." And when you actually have total ownership and the leadership is aligned of all the businesses around improving the guest experience, they're able to work with each other because they're working towards the common purpose to respond to the enhancement of the guest experience. And that's really key for us. How do we ensure that we increase the value creation in that customer space?
One of the other things I'm also curious about, this is, I guess, from a broader Micros point of view, at what point does a business approach micros, or do they enlist a software platform to help their business? And I ask that because if I open, you know, Mudiwa restaurant, right, I start out and probably the first piece of hardware and software I'm going to get is like a little payment thing so that people can, you know, pay for their goods and keep it moving. But as I grow, right, maybe I start off as a food truck or something, but as I grow, at some point, I'm like, no, maybe it's prudent for me to have a piece of software that's helping me to, you know, run my tables, make sure that I know, you know, the property management stuff. And right, at what point am I coming to micros and saying, okay, fine, I need something? Or is it a proactive stance from a micros point of view, looking into the market to say, perhaps that's a business that could possibly benefit from software managing, helping to manage their operation?
Yeah, so Mudiwa, I like the question because it talks to which type of customer is a micros customer. And to a large extent, there are certain customers that are not our customer, and we accept that. But what I always say to business owners out there, the question they need to be asking themselves is not at what point they need to be coming to us, but rather at what point are they willing to allow their business to be at risk? Because our software is really around mitigating risk, but creating value and ensuring that your business becomes profitable. We know that statistics tell us that, for example, restaurants in South Africa, they're lucky if they survive for 3 years. We know these statistics, they're out there. I'll give you an example. I had an engagement with a customer of ours who is based in KZN in Maritzburg. And he said to me, Reg, I want to tell you something. Before I started using your software, and I was using your competitor's software, these were my profit margins. When I started using your product, and your team consulted with me and actually gave me an idea of how I can use your software to increase my margins, I've increased my bottom line by 4%. And that is the key. That is the key, because as an operator of a business, what you need is to ensure that you increase your profitability, because that's what sustains your business. But also you want to ensure that you've got software that safeguards against leakage. This is what our system is. Increases your profitability, reduces your risk, because fraud is a big issue in South Africa. Our staff are the biggest, unfortunately, the biggest risk area when it comes to restaurants. So restaurants have to ensure that they have a proper platform that allows them to mitigate and be able to manage every part of their operation, understand what type of stock levels you have, when are you ordering, when did the individuals work, which shift you need to be paying for, all of those things, that's what our software does. So in short, to say which customer should come to us, early next month in April on the 7th and the 8th, we'll be hosting a Micros South Africa. Micros Hospitality Tech Conference in Cape Town, where we'll host a variety of clients from hotels to restaurants, where we talk about the future of hospitality. But more than anything, Mudiwa, we want to talk to our customers about how we can help them to become more sustainable. Because the more we help our customers become sustainable, the more we help our business, isn't it? It doesn't help us to have customers today and then in a year's time that customer shuts down. How do we ensure that we bring in systems, solutions, and partners? Because some of the solutions don't sit within Micros South Africa. They don't sit in Adapt IT. It may be partners where we've got agreements where we bring their products into the market in a collaborative manner to say, we endorse this product because it answers this question and this question and this question, and it protects your business this way. So it's those things that we try to achieve. And in my view, if you look at our client list, it varies, Mudiwa, from Meshisa Nyama to a coffee shop, to a restaurant, to a fast food joint. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. But it's people who are really about, who are serious about sustaining their businesses and growing them for the future.
Okay. Now, it makes sense because, at the end of the day, like you said, the sustainability of one, you know, is directly linked, you know, symbiotically to the sustainability of the other. So you sort of have to be good at approaching it from that level. One of the other curiosities I have when it comes to software and specifically in hospitality is the AI discussion. Everyone is talking about AI right now, and I honestly think some people are still trying to figure out exactly what they want to do with the AI, but they want to be seen talking about the AI. Keen to get a sense of the use cases that either yourselves as Micros or the broader hospitality industry has been able to come up with when it comes to use of AI. Is it a customer experience play with the chatbots? Is it intelligently being able to manage properties, bookings, that type of thing? Like what's happening?
AI has become a catchphrase, isn't it? Everybody's talking about AI, but they're actually talking about data science in most cases, and not necessarily the AI engine itself. We've been doing work with AI for years. I mean, in 2019, I'll give you a use case of one of our clients did overseas. But the issue is you need to understand the differences. We've got generative AI, and generative AI is really the future of what we need to be doing. AI is key in answering a lot of questions for us in the market. How you take the data and extrapolate the data, but that data, how do you use that data to make informed decisions or increase the value that you create for customers? Just to give you an idea, back in 2019, not even now, so when we talk about AI, through our PMS, a particular customer was able to create a chatbot that would interact with guests pre-check-in. And that AI engine, that chatbot, was able to firstly do a pre-check-in checklist with a guest, but also do a self-managed check-in. So the guest would check in by using the chatbot. In property guest experience, the chatbot was responsible for managing the lights of the so in your room, you basically can turn to the chatbot and the chatbot can switch off the lights, but the chatbot can talk to key staff within the hotel as well. If you've run out of toothpaste, for example, you can tell the chatbot, "I've run out of toothpaste," and send a message to somebody in the guest experience office for the hotel. And voila, somebody walks in with a toothpaste. But you can order using the chatbot as well. You could say, "I feel like something meaty today. What do you have on the menu?" And the chatbot comes back and says, "These are the options that you have." All of these things have been happening for years, Amadiwa. This is nothing new. But what we're doing now is to take it even a step further, not just at guest-facing level. We're going back into the back office. How do you enhance operations and increase efficiencies in the back office using AI? So some of our customers today, there's quite a number of customers who are using some of these chatbots, using an AI engine, who are able to indicate to the hotel what's happening, what's the state of each room, give them a status of which rooms needs to be attended to, which guest has had what experience. If the experience wasn't great, it does an auto call to the guest to say, "Mr. Guest, we know that your experience wasn't pleasurable. We acknowledge this. A service consultant will be in touch with you." But we've gone even a step further. We have now a platform that allows our guests where when they walk into a hotel, let's say, for example, Mutiwa has booked a room because Mutiwa is traveling on a business trip, and the business says you can only book a room that's between 2,000 rand and 3,000 rand. Okay? Mutiwa has booked this room, it's 2,100 rand. When it gets to the hotel says, using this, an AI engine that pops up to the receptionist and says, "Receptionist, Budiwa has booked this room, but actually you've got a 4,500 rand room available. And this room is not going to be consumed during this night. There's nobody who's booked it. Rather sell this room to Mudiwa at 3,000 rands, upsell it to him. You, instead of experiencing 2,100 rand revenue, you've increased your revenue by 900 rand. Mm. But you get what I'm saying? So there's various ways in which you use AI to do things like that. The upselling of inventory that's available, and various other things, and also upselling of just food items in a menu when you actually are selling to a person who's sitting down in a restaurant. So there's various ways that we've answered this question, and it's not for us a catchphrase. Our software, our systems are using AI as an engine to actually drive customer experience and increase value for our customers.
Yeah, that's actually quite some great examples there, of how the AI is being used, I guess, on a very practical level behind the scenes, and especially from a revenue gains point of view and the efficiencies that you mentioned earlier on. And I think where we can end today's discussion, we've spoken quite a bit about macros within the context of Adapt IT and Omegro and Volaris. The fact that this gives you, presence when it comes to spas and spas and salons in South Africa and a number of different countries. We've spoken quite a bit about, the different ways in which businesses are using all of this, technology. But just keen to get your sense, because you guys are operating and servicing clients in many different jurisdictions, right? How does South Africa's hospitality industry stack up when it comes to use of technology? How do you characterize South Africa against maybe other peer countries?
Okay, there is a huge appetite for solutions in South Africa, and we've seen the rise in cloud based software. Our software is cloud-based. Most of our software, our PMS is on a cloud, it's Opera Cloud. And also our restaurant system, which is Symphony, it's Symphony Cloud, sits within a cloud environment. There's a lot of appetite in the market. Everyone wants, and especially when you talk about cloud products, cloud allows you to do so much more. Especially native cloud environments that allows you to connect and really take this experience to a different level. There are some challenges in migrating to cloud, and our clients in South Africa, and not just our clients, I think the hospitality sector as a whole is generally a bit sluggish to a large extent at this point to migrate into the cloud environment. But then, and I do understand there are a number of challenges around it. If you think about a hospitality company, they would have invested initially on their operating systems, which are on-prem. Now, as you come to them as a vendor to say it's time to migrate to a cloud environment, which is much more secure. Security is the biggest part when you talk about the future. We've seen a rise in security breaches and security attempts to breach data in South Africa. It has increased by over 1,000% since COVID. So that is key, that you need to move to cloud so that specialized vendors who have security safeguards that will ensure that your systems are left intact and nobody can breach, you need to move to cloud. So as we see the sluggishness of the market to move there, we understand that unfortunately they have to adapt to the new framework of how things will work, from having done an initial purchase of their software to now going into a subscription-based software model. And for example, let's say you bought your software initially for 2 rands, and now Reggie wants you to move to a subscription base, and your 2 rands was done. You paid 2 rands and you moved on. you know? And then the only thing you had to concern yourself with was maintenance of that software. And maybe, let's say, maintenance of that software was 10 cents every year. Now, Reggie comes back to you and says, well, currently you're maintaining your software 10 cents a year, and I want you to pay 30 cents a month or whatever a year for the same, for a different type of software that takes you to the future. It's that adjustment of understanding what it gets you and how to understand what are all the other operating costs that are currently sunk in that people don't think about, because they think of cloud as just, you're increasing my costs. But actually, I'm not, because today you run your environment, you have a data center, it consumes electricity, you have technicians, you have all of these people, you have software, you have security software that has to safeguard that environment. All of that cost goes away when you move to a cloud environment. So the adoption of cloud has been a bit sluggish, but we're seeing a lot of appetite. And we'll be discussing this point next month in our conference in Cape Town. With a lot more of our customers ready to move to cloud, and we're seeing a lot more adopting. And we're currently in engagements with a lot of customers who are saying, it's now time, let's do the workshops and let's get ready for migration to cloud. But from a technology perspective, I think our hospitality sector is using all the right products. They are very, very keen. I was in Berlin last week for the ITB, and South Africa was well represented. The Minister of Hospital of Tourism was there, and South Africa was well represented by different products all over South Africa. And you could see that when they engage technology companies, they are trying to figure out how they solve for the pain points that they have in their businesses. So I'm not worried about that, but I do think that it is time for hospitality to migrate to a cloud environment, because that's where the future is. That's where you get key benefits. Security is there. And also plugging in and ensuring that you unlock the power of AI is in the cloud environment.
Excellent. So that's how we end today's discussion. It has been a great one, just getting a sense of what's happening in the hospitality sector as it pertains to, the use of software. I think the biggest value that has come out of a discussion like this is that we get a sense of, some of the inner workings of what's going on behind interactions that many of us have, on a daily basis, whether you are in a restaurant, whether you're at a hotel, whether you're booking accommodation, you have pieces of software, some of which, Reggie and, the team at Micros are developing, improving and putting into place on a daily basis. One of the big things that he emphasized from the beginning is the fact that one of the biggest pain points in the industry is how do you improve, that customer experience? How do you have a uniform customer experience? And this is how Micros has decided to go about it, offering a number of different solutions that work as standalone, but that can talk to each other within the portfolio that they have, so that when they approach customers, you can actually go there, with one. I've heard this across a number of different companies where you go into the market with one voice and you make sure that you're offering a number of, different solutions, from that point of view, benefiting, of course, from being part of the broader, Adapt IT, Omegro and Volaris, group. And they see this as also a way to expand, some of their offerings, not only in South Africa, but in other parts of the world. Also interesting, to get a sense of how these pieces of software are being used. He gave, some of the different examples, telling us that you have people from across the hospitality sector, from as small as a coffee shop, all the way to a large hotel chain. And each one has different opportunities. But what was interesting is the fact that when you look specifically at spas and you look at salons, he was just talking about the fact that there's actually, quite a uniform way in which they operate, you know, despite what country you're in. Of course, there are going to be some, you know, localization aspects that are there, but for the most part, you know, you're able to offer something uniform. Ending off talking quite a bit about AI, this is probably one of the biggest buzz terms at the moment, and him contextualizing how the industry has been able to come up with some of the use cases to increase earnings, whilst at the same time saving when it comes to costs and increasing efficiencies from that point of view. And I like some of the practical examples, you know, such as the ability to know, I guess, the profile of a guest, being able to upsell them on something, but still remaining within a budget that they're in, so that they feel like they're getting the most, you know, for their money. So that's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one, just talking to Reggie Sibeko. He is the managing director of Micros, giving us a sense of what they've been able to do with the recent acquisition of Spa Guru that was done by Omegro, which is part of the Volaris Group, and how that then ties in to their portfolio as Micros South Africa. Reggie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madhu. I appreciate your time, and thank you to all those who are listening to the podcast.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.